Good morning.
Hey, this morning, Advent reading. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up, and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their chains and throw off their shackles." The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them, rebukes them in his anger, and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, "I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise, be warned. You rulers of the earth, serve the Lord with fear, and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son, or he will be angry, and your way will lead to your destruction. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are you who take refuge in him, that the world will resist him. The nations rage because the human heart wants freedom from God's rule. We want to wear our own crowns and build our own kingdoms. We see this same resistance today in every attempt to silence the name of Jesus. Yet Jesus is the only king who offers real hope. He is the only one who defeated death, the only one who overcame evil, the only one who perfectly revealed the Father. He alone is worthy of being called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." Shall we pray? As we light the candle of hope, let us pray. Lord, thank you for breaking the chains of sin and stepping into our world. Forgive us for wanting our own way and trying to rule our own lives. You alone are good, and you alone are King. We remember today that our hope is found in you. Amen.
Anyways, the weary world rejoices. That is what we're in this season for Advent. We've been going through the book of Acts, right? We've been going through how we left off. You know, the Spirit moved with power. And Peter stood and preached with courage. Hearts were cut to the core. And people repented. Thousands came to faith, and the church was born right in front of their eyes. And we got to witness that through what we read. And as we step away from that story into Advent, I want to remind us that we move from this revival that is happening to reflection of our Savior. So that same Spirit who filled the believers at Pentecost is the Spirit who is filling our waiting hearts today. The same God who built his church through bold faith is the same God who builds our hope in a weary world. So Acts showed us and is showing us people alive with purpose. But when we look around today, it can feel like our world is just gasping for hope. Amen? Just people are desperate. People are wanting answers. We see wars. We see division. We see injustice. We see fear. We see people chasing peace, but finding none. And the world keeps trying to save itself and build its own kingdom. But the results are always the same. Okay? Israel understood that feeling as well. They knew what it was like to see failed kings, broken systems, and empty promises. Yet in the middle of that darkness, God gave them a promise. And in Isaiah, let me flip to it really quick. In Isaiah 9, verse 2, it says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." That is the message of Advent. The light. When the world feels like it's falling apart, God is still writing the story. When people are desperate for leadership, God sends a king. So it's a king that we needed all along, amen? So the world is always looking for something or someone to fix it, right? It's always like, who can fix it? You got it? You can fix it? We're putting you in charge. We're putting you on there. You do it. So Israel wanted a ruler who would restore order and crush their enemy. They wanted a throne, a sword, and peace on their terms. But God gave them something far deeper. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So God did not promise another political answer. God did not promise something for them to put in place of a kingdom. No. He promised a child. A king whose rule would come in humility. A king whose power was not oppressive, but instead it was redemptive, to save people's hearts. So Israel's kings had failed, right? They are seeking for hope. They are wondering, who will save us from this? But kings had failed. Saul fell into pride. David fell into sin. Solomon fell into compromise. And every one of them carried a part of what we're longing for. But yet none of them brought lasting peace. So they were shadows. They were a beginning of a greater king. And the same is true today. Amen? We place our hope in leaders. We place our hope in systems and cultural answers, but none of them carry the weight of our hope. So this prophecy that we're reading still speaks to us today, that hope is not found in what humanity builds. Hope is not found on what we put into order. Hope is not found on who or what we say is going to help us. Hope is found in who God sent. Because we create false kings. We want something, right? We're like, you're going to fix it. In John 6:15, the crowd tried to make Jesus king by force. Remember that story? They wanted a king who would serve their agenda. They wanted Rome removed. They wanted their hearts to be redeemed. They wanted power without surrender. And when they felt that Jesus was the answer, they said, "You, we want you to be king. You be our king." But they wanted him to be their king on their standards, on their situation, on how they felt they needed a king to rule. And when Jesus didn't meet the their expectations. What did they do? They rejected him. They cast him away. And we still wrestle with that same temptation, right? When we go and we want things done, we put people in place. We say, you are the one to fix this. When government is in a situation, we're like, we're going to put you into power because you are going to fix this. When schools or organizations or churches are in a situation of dire need and desperation, they're like, we're going to put you in this position and you are going to fix it. We forget about God. We forget about Christ. So when Jesus didn't meet their expectations of what they thought they wanted and how they wanted it solved, they rejected him. You see, we love Jesus as a Savior. We love him as a Savior, but we resist him as our King. Because when he's our Savior, it's all, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me. But the moment that goes away, remember last week we talked about what next? What happens that next day after lights fade away and all that happy-go-lucky, we just got saved feeling, and the next day comes and it's like, what's next? When we get that the next part that comes is obedience, faithfulness. So we love Jesus as the Savior. But when the King steps to his throne and says, listen to me, we're like, whoa, 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 whoa. We didn't expect that. But it comes in one. Don't get one without the other. So we want forgiveness without surrender for some reason. We want peace without obedience. And we want hope on our own terms. We want a King who fits our plans instead of a King who calls us to his. Now, I don't know about you, but I, out of everything that I've read, out of all the documentaries I've watched, even movies that are fake, I have never seen a King that is ruled and ran by the people in his community, in his reign. The King is the one who sits. The King and the one is the one who says, listen, this is what we're doing. Be obedient to me. But when, for whatever reason, when we see Jesus because he came as a humble baby to fulfill that hope. When we see that, we forget that he is the Almighty God. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So we want a King who fits our plans instead of a King who calls us to fit his. But every time we build our own kingdom, what happens? It falls. Every time we build our own things up, they fall. Because we were not created to rule ourselves. Listen to that this morning. We were not created to rule ourselves. We are created to live under the reign of the true King, which is Jesus Christ. Luke 1, 32 to 33 tells us who Jesus truly is. It says, he will be great and we will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. This isn't just some fictitious thing that we are looking at. It's reality. Jesus will reign. Jesus is King. Jesus is Savior. He's the eternal King. His kingdom is unshakable. His throne is not built on influence or popularity. Instead, it's built on his identity as the Son of God. But when God sent Jesus, he did not send a teacher to inspire us or a prophet to warn us, right? He sent a fulfillment to every promise. Now, I've said this before in past times. I always find it fascinating, so I want to share it. But mathematicians have tried to calculate the odds of any person fulfilling the Messiah's prophecy. Okay, they've done all the math. They get behind their little computer. They calculate all these things. So, over 300, amen? Over 300 prophecies fulfilled by Jesus Christ. If someone fulfilled only 8, because let's get to a number we can understand, okay? If someone fulfilled only 8 of them by chance, the odds would be 1 in 10 to the 17th power. 17 zeros, if I'm remembering that correctly. It's a lot of zeros. It's 0, 0, 0, 0, 0. It's a lot, okay? And to put it in perspective for us that are visual, okay, it's like filling the entire state of Texas with silver dollars 2 feet high and marking one coin and then blindfolding a man and saying, pick it up on your first try. Okay? That's the odds of 8. All right? But Jesus didn't fulfill 8. He fulfilled more than 300, which shows us it's not the work of a mere man. It's the work of a true king. And Galatians 4, 4 through 5 says that God sent his son at the perfect time to redeem those under the law so we could receive adoption. It is all in the plan. It is all part of the plan. He came at the perfect time so we could receive the hope through Christ. And this is how the one king, how the king chose to rule. He didn't rule from a palace, right? But from a cross. He didn't have a golden crown, but instead a crown of thorns. He came to free the captives, heal the broken, and bring hope to a weary world that now rejoices. And Jesus did this by fulfilling only what he could fulfill. We can't do it. Jesus can. So when we know that Jesus can, we need to understand what we need from our King. So Isaiah's titles show us the heart of Jesus' kingship, that he is a wonderful counselor who guides us when we are lost. He is the mighty God who fights for us when we are weak. He is the everlasting Father who provides for us when we are tired. He is the Prince of Peace who brings order to our chaos. These are divine, these are promises from the Lord. Every one of them speaks to the real need in our human heart. Whether we admit it or not, we fill that void with something, right? We say, oh, I don't need this, I don't need Jesus, I don't need that. But you fill that void with something. And sometimes a lot of people are like, I don't need it. Then you look at their life and you're like, yes, you do. You're filling it with something else. You're filling it with destructive nature, and you might not see it. But we often settle for counterfeits. Voices that promise comfort, but without the conviction. Voices that promise happiness without holiness. You can do it, but you don't have to do that over there. And then we follow people and ideas and things that promise peace, without repentance. So Advent reminds us that only one king satisfies the human heart. Only Jesus brings peace that lasts. So that reminds us that we now have the hope that rules the world, or the rules the heart, I'm sorry. Hope that rules the heart. We think of the hope as a feeling. Something that we get when life looks better. Okay? But biblical hope is different. It's not a feeling, and it's not wishful thinking. It's not something we spur up on our own. It is a confident trust in the character of God. We are trusting Him. We trust our lives to Him. And it's knowing that what God said is true, even when the circumstances around us have not changed yet. When our circumstances in this world are crazy and there's still chaos, we say, Lord, you are true. Lord, you are faithful. Lord, I follow you. Even in the chaos of the world that's around us. Because hope becomes real in us when Jesus takes his rightful place as king in our hearts. Jesus takes that throne in our hearts and we accept him. That's when hope becomes real. When we don't have Jesus, we have wishful thinking for all this other stuff. We hope for these things and it always fails. And then we hear from others, trust Jesus Christ. Trust in the Lord. We're like, no, why? I've trusted in all these other things and it's just fail, 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 fail. But we need to show people of the hope of Jesus Christ because he is the true King. Because he is the wonderful Counselor, mighty Savior. Because if he is King, fear cannot hold on to you in the same way because you have hope. If he is truly king, chaos cannot steal the peace that he gives you. If he is king, your identity is going to be shaped by his word instead of what this world tells you. The real hope does not start when your problems disappear. Real hope begins when Jesus reigns. Real hope begins when Jesus reigns in you because the reign of Jesus is everything. He brings light into darkness. He brings strength into weakness. He brings peace where there has only been struggle and chaos. And he brings purpose into places that felt and feel empty. And that is the hope that we start with this Advent season. The king has come and he wants to reign in you. He wants to reign in your heart, not to control you, not to tell you, you have to do this way, you have to be this, you have to go. No, he doesn't do it to control you, but to restore you. When we have rules and we're obedient to our parents, right? Sometimes we're like, gosh, they're so strict. They won't lighten up. We've all done it. There's some adults in here that I still think probably do that. But sometimes, think about it. When we're younger, when we're little, and we're like, I'm going to run out into the street and catch that ball, and your parents are like, no, 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 you're not allowed to cross the street unless I'm with you, unless you look both ways. All these guidelines, all these rules, but it's for your safety, for something that you not observe at that time in your life. When you're a kid, you don't think about the cars rushing by. You don't think about that. So the same is true for Christ. That he's not there to rule, to control, but to restore. Because when we listen through obedience, our life becomes better. Our life is full of hope. It's not to burden us, but to lift us into the life that we were created for. So today, choose to welcome the King who brings hope to a weary world that rejoices. Those W's. Choose God. Choose to trust his love. Choose to rest in his rule. Because the moment that Jesus reigns in your heart, hope takes its rightful place in your life. But, oh wait, there's more. There's always rebellion in the heart. There's always that rebellion of the heart. Every kingdom has citizens, right? That's how a kingdom is made up. Every king has authority. But when we look at Advent, we ask ourselves this question. Are we living in rebellion towards our king or in reverence before him? Because he is king. He does rule over everything. So are you going the other direction? Are you in rebellion? Or are you in awe and reverence of the true king? Thank you, Lord. Obedient to you, Lord. So calling Jesus Savior while refusing him as Lord creates this spiritual conflict. Calling him Lord and submitting to him creates peace. So just, we've been taught that submission is in a lot of ways. But submission to God is not losing. It is gaining what we could never create through our own control. So when Christ reigns, hope comes alive. Think about it. When we hear the word submission, oh no. When we hear the word submission, if you're like me, you're going to think of something like UFC, the octagon, and you are trapped. It's like, I no longer have control. But that's like the resistance of it. But think of this. When you come home from a long day, you go to your friend, when you go to your boyfriend, girlfriend, your wife, your loved one, your family member, whoever it may be, and you give them that hug, and the world seems to melt away. I'm surrendering to them, surrendering to that comfort. That's the surrender we get with the Lord. He holds us and we just go, done. I'm not tense anymore. I'm going to reside in you. So when Christ reigns in your heart, hope comes alive. So here's the question. Who is sitting on the throne of your heart right now? Who directs your decisions, your priorities, your reaction? Who's in control? If you want hope, this Advent must let the true King. You must remove the fear, the pride, and control from the throne and allow Jesus to take his rightful place. All the things we put in on the throne in our life that we're trying to fill that void, take it all off. Let Jesus reign in his rightful place so he can give you truth. World. Because peace always follows his authority. He reigns when you let him do what he does best. peace follows. So if you're tired this season, it's been a long year, you're just like, I don't know what to do. Surrender to him. Let him give you the hope. Pray this each morning. Say, Lord Jesus, you are my King. Rule in my heart and my home. Reign over my plans, my priorities, my fear. Let your hope govern my life. Taking that one step every morning, just say, Lord, take your place. Take your throne. Rule over me. Control my life. Guide me. You can have the hope. Then you can take one practical step in that. Receive him. Ask for that hope. Maybe this is the season that you forgive someone. Maybe this is the season that you serve someone. Maybe it's the time when you speak peace when conflict is rising around you. Because when we have King, we have the King, Christ, in our hearts, hope will. People see the hope in us when they're like, why? What's this? What does this mean? What's next? All those questions that they were asking in Acts, right? It's the hope of Christ. We receive him, we receive that hope, we share that, and people are like, what's different? Lord, in my heart, he controls my life, controls my actions, my thoughts, my priorities. Gives me. So the weary world is not searching for another ruler or reformer. It's searching for a redeemer who reigns. A true king that has come, and his kingdom will never end. So Isaiah saw his light. Mary carried his promise. The shepherds witnessed his glory, and that same hope still reigns today. And it's our job to continually show that hope to the world. Amen? The King is here. His throne is eternal. His promise stands firm. So let every heart prepare him room for the Lord. Right? Invite up worship team and pray this morning.